Welcome to the REI Diamonds Show with Dan Breslin, your source for real estate investment jewels of wisdom.
Welcome to the REI Diamond Show with Austin Stack on closing 40 deals in his first 10 months. I'm Dan Breslin, host of the REI Diamond Show. Today, I'm interviewing a close friend and member of my own team here at Diamond Equity, Austin Stack. Austin and I began working together over the summer in the Atlanta market, and he definitely hit the ground running. Atlanta is a hot emerging market, and Austin is a rock-solid operator, always getting the job done. Austin and I also co-created the VIP Wholesaler Mastermind, an invitation-only wholesalers mastermind to help jumpstart wholesalers' careers and help them take their business to the next level. This is not something you can buy your way into because there is no cost. However, the only way you can join is if one of the Diamond Equity Investments team members invites you to join. The reason we created the VIP Wholesaler Mastermind is because we are always looking to buy deals we can fix and flip in each of the markets where we operate. Members agree to give us the first look to see if we are interested in buying the deals that they dig up. Now, as you listen to this episode, take note of Austin's attitude towards success and building relationships. This is one of the major reasons that he has been able to succeed at such a fast pace in the real estate business. So let's get rocking and rolling, shall we? Welcome to the show, Austin. It's good to have you here.
Thanks, Dan. Glad to be here.
So for the people who are listening and don't know who Austin Stack is, can you give us a brief history of, you know, how you ended up in the real estate business and, you know, what your activity and business looks like today now that you've kind of been working with me here at Diamond Equity?
Starting out since about 17 years old, I've always been in sales in one form or the other. I was working with a company called Cutco Cutlery. A lot of your listeners might know about it. And I was the in-home person doing my standard, seeing Mr. and Mrs. Jones, presenting the knives to them and selling them in there. I did that for about 6 years, eventually moved up into working on the fair and show team, which is you're sitting at a booth, let's say like the Illinois State Fair, and you're actually slinging blades out of the booth. It's extremely fast paced. In an hour, you might be talking to six different people. So you have to get extremely great at qualifying people up front and then converting them very quickly. And in home, you have about 2 hours because it's very difficult for that person to get up and just leave you in their house, kind of walk out. It doesn't work too well. So you can keep them there. You can, you know, get multiple no's from them. You can, you know, trial close them a lot and you have a lot more leeway. At the booth, you know, if they don't like what you have to say and within the first, you know, couple seconds you don't grab their attention, there's probably 100 to 500 other booths that they can go and walk around. And it's very easy for them to walk away. When you're on one side of the table, they're on the other. So I got very good at building instant rapport, qualifying people within the first minute of them coming up to the table, and then closing them in maximum about a 30-minute time. And I was, for my campaign, number 2 in the region, number 8 in the entire company. And that was against reps who were working at the booth on the weekends and then also working during the weekdays doing the in-home appointments, which a lot of times your average order is a lot higher. So I accomplished those rankings with only working on the weekends. I did no appointments that year. You know, I did no appointments during the weekdays. I didn't do any service calls or go in home to see anybody. So I was doing that for 6 years, really loved it, got offered multiple jobs where I was guaranteed, you know, six figures, you can make 100K doing this. It was selling advertising. It was selling equipment for shops, like big, huge machinery equipment. And it's just nothing that really appealed to me. I never really loved money. Like I like money because it gives me freedom and it's a resource for me to do whatever I want to, but it's not the main driving factor for me. Freedom is. And if I don't believe in what I'm doing 100%, I'm not going to be passionate about it and I'm not going to be successful with it. So I just stayed with Cutco. I got introduced to real estate in Chicago for the very first time as an agent. I was referred to somebody who was a broker in Chicago by somebody in Cutco. I went there, met with them. I liked what he had to say. He was in the personal growth space, and him and I really clicked, and I got on board with his mission. So I was going to be a real estate agent. I, you know, started taking all the licensing tests and going through that whole thing. Ended up not getting my license because during a seminar out in Tahoe, I found out that you don't need to be a real estate agent first in order to go straight to investing. I always thought, Dan, that the path to real estate investing was agent, build up money, build up market knowledge, and then you could be an investor. I didn't know you could just skip all that and go straight to doing it. So I found out what wholesaling was and just decided, okay, cool, no more license. Doesn't make sense to me. The person who I had met at that event lived in Atlanta. So I flew down from Chicago, where I was living at the time, flew down to Atlanta, met with him and his staff for about 2 days. And I flew back, and literally 4 days later, I packed up my car full of everything that I could fit in there. I told, you know, I left the apartment. I left all of the furniture. I really didn't tell many people that I was leaving. I told my ex-girlfriend, like, later. I drove down 4 days later, never to look back. I didn't know where I was living. I had no idea. I just drove down with a car full of all my stuff, knowing that I was going to figure it out one way or the other. So I get down there, and I'm hustling, doing my thing with the person I met at the event. It didn't work out, our partnership, for one reason or another. We're still good friends and all that. But I started doing my own thing. We had still been in contact, right? I'd talked to you a couple of times. I still had people who I was talking to with the wholesale piece in Chicago. And I just referred over a couple investors who were still calling me, actively looking for properties. I had about 53 that I was working with over there. You know, I just kept on trying to add value to you, not because I wanted anything, but really just because I didn't have the resources up there to like satisfy these people. So if I can refer it over to somebody who's in my network, why not give them that opportunity? Even if it doesn't affect my pocket directly, I just want my circle to be abundant. So eventually it came to the point where I was like, hey, you know what? You and I had talked a couple times, Dan. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to send you over my entire buyers list. There's about 53 people on there. You know, here you go. You know, I didn't ask you for anything. I was honestly and authentically just figuring you could put them to use and, you know, provide for them better than I could. So I sent it over. And the next thing you say is like, okay, this is awesome. When's the next time you're going to be in Chicago? It's like, well, I'm actually coming back there next week. And so I flew out there to meet with you. We had lunch. And then you mentioned to me that, you know, looking for a partner in Atlanta. So we ended up, you know, partnering in Atlanta. And I think in my first 7 or 8 months here in Atlanta, I did just shy of 35 deals. Wholesale deals, been involved in the transaction of those wholesale deals. And I believe now I'm pretty much well over 40 now that I've been here for the 9-10 months that I've been here thus far. But that's kind of how it all came to be. You know, partnering with you was the best decision that I've made, probably top three best decisions that I've ever made.
So how much, just to give a quick, brief, one-word answer, how much have you made since we started getting together? Gross assignments. We'll say the whole thing before you and me split, and we split with a couple other people maybe. What would be the total gross?
Total gross? Be above $120,000.
So $120,000 in, you know, 5 months or so, right?
Yeah, but that also doesn't take into account the time that it takes for leads to start turning over. You know, real estate has a 2 to 3 month, you know, the stuff you did 2 or 3 months ago is going to be paying you today, right? And 1 month, you know, could account for a very large part of that.
Yeah. And, you know, the point that I'm going at is really actually that's like dynamite, right? 120 grand. I know there's people listening saying, oh my God, that's like outrageous money. This is something else here. Wow. And I just wanted to kind of make a point that that was a result of your mentality, your diligence and building the skills and kind of adding value to me before that ever came to the table. Cause I get a lot of people that would, you know, reach out and are trying to put some things together, and you just got to have that right attitude. You know, you can't stand in front of an empty fireplace and ask for heat. Like, it's cold outside. Give me some heat, warm me up first, and then I'll head outside and I'll go get the wood and then we can have the fire. You actually have to go out, get the wood, and put it into the fire first before you kind of get the result or the benefit of your actions. And I think that was like a real stellar thing for anybody listening. I know a lot of people already understand this, add value, you know, be a promoter, help everybody else out around you. It comes back in ways that you would have no expectation of. There's no way that, you know, if you had said to me, Austin, if you'd have been like, hey, I have these 53 buyers, and if you send them over and if you close something from them, can you give me XYZ dollar amount? It would have just been like it tarnished. And for me, that would have just been a complete headache. Like, how in the hell am I going to track 53 buyers? And then, you know, I got like 15,000 in Chicago, I think, right now, or 16,000, including the Ring meetup group. How the hell am I going to track 53 that came out of, you know, it's like a small needle in a haystack to try to like pay attention to that. But you didn't go that route. You didn't try to like negotiate up front, you know, every last little penny and benefit that would come from that list. Instead, you just paid it forward, and then it returned 120 grand worth in assignments, whacked up in a period of like 5 or 6 months. Compared to whoever you were working for before, with before, figuring out the business on your own and just getting started in the course of, I don't know, a year or so from start to now, what would be the experience, or what was your transition like, and what are maybe two or three of the top beneficial skills that you've gained by being, you know, in the Diamond Equity circle?
I'll just say this, Dan, is Diamond Equity is the premier wholesalers. Like, there's nobody who does wholesaling as professionally, as ethically, as morally as I've seen Diamond Equity do it. There just isn't. Like, the elite of the elite work with Diamond Equity, in my, you know, humble opinion. And the experience, it's like air. During doing this myself and trying to like struggle and figure out how to keep my head above water and just feeling like I'm getting nowhere and nowhere and nowhere, because I don't, you know, I don't know what I don't know. And with Diamond Equity, there is a huge personal growth element, and there is a huge learning aspect that I need when I'm going to be successful. I feed off of other people who have already done what I'm looking to do, and that who I can model. And you've seen me get off the ground extremely quick here in Atlanta, simply because I flew out and met with other people on the team, right? I met with George in Philadelphia, and I followed him around. I met with Evan out there in Philadelphia as well, and met with them. And I just literally recorded what they were doing, and I copied exactly. I steal from the best with pride, is what I always say. And if I'm able to model somebody like that, I'm absolutely unstoppable. But compared to where I was at before, it was really just, here's a book of leads and, you know, good luck. We don't provide training. We'll have meetings, but nobody was an absolute killer. Nobody was going out there and just batting, you know, 100. It just wasn't, it was non-existent. So to have the resources that the 10 years in business that you have accumulated at my disposal, and to be able to utilize and to learn from you and talk with you, and just everyday minutia that you present to me, it's, the value is overwhelming.
Nice. Well said. And a big part of that is like, you know, we have obviously our mastermind calls that, you know, occasionally we invite people to, and we've gotten a ton of value out of that. I mean, what's your experience with, you know, the Inside Track mastermind calls, Austin?
Yeah, I love it so much. At first, I kind of just kicked back and was listening to everybody, because I was real new in the business, and I just, everything was kind of brand new to me. So I'm taking a bunch of notes. I'm learning who's who. And now it's like a family on those calls, right, Dan? It's, you know, I look forward to them every time we get on there. And I've noticed that whenever there is something that I'm dealing with, that I'm, you know, whether I realize it or not, something is hindering me from taking the next progression in, you know, the step of business, it's brought up on the calls and it's addressed, whether I bring it up or whether somebody else is bringing it up. You know, let's say, for example, this time of year, you know, everyone's doing the holiday thing. the lead flow is starting to slow down a little bit, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I need to start making more calls. You know, I need to start reaching out to more people instead of just waiting for the leads to come in to my pile and then, you know, do the follow-up call to them. I need to follow up with people who I've followed up with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times and reach back out to them. And, you know, I mentioned that to you, and the next thing I know, we're having an entire call about that, and I'm getting tons of tips and tricks from the other people on the team about what they're doing to increase their business during, you know, the quote unquote slow time of the year, which it's not. I have, you know, 5 appointments booked this week. So
yeah, and these are like VIP mastermind calls. We don't sell access to this. There's not going to be a pitch at the end of this audio, nothing like that. It's kind of an invite only thing for, you know, a select number of people that we work very close with. So sorry to disappoint. If anyone wanted to sign up, you know, I guess you could reach out maybe for an invitation to Austin or one of the other guys in the market. So let's switch gears here a little bit. We recently, you know, we've done some wholesale deals, and really, you know, a lot of people look at Diamond Equity just as wholesalers, but the reality is we started as a fix and flip business, and that's what we do in each of the markets. And, you know, when we first get on the ground in Atlanta, I looked at the market. I liked the market. That was part of why, you know, it was serendipitous that you happened to jump in a car and move halfway across the country. And then, you know, timing, circumstances, value add, et cetera, adds up to us in business. And we start out always by wholesaling. But then we build up a little bit of cash. We build up some, you know, private lenders, resources with contractors and things of that nature. And we start to look around for some flips. And one place I know that we won in many of the other markets, like I don't care. I don't have to have the most primo, perfect flip in a perfect neighborhood. Like we'll still do wholesale assignment deals. And then, you know, when a deal fits the bill, we'll actually buy the property, fix the property up, and sell the property. And so, like, a lot of times we had one, don't we, Austin, where it's an agent and they sell a ton of freaking properties, this guy, and you would think he would be like the last person, but happen to have a deal that kind of fits the bill. Like, so would you just kind of describe that situation for me?
Yeah, I think we were getting dinner. You were in town, and we were out getting dinner with a few friends, few, you know, close people in this market here. And he just happened to mention, hey, you know, he's an agent. I have this property. It's not a fit for, you know, actually it was, he knew somebody in his office who had a property. So he referred us to somebody in his office who had a property that she was dealing with that was not a fit at all to be listed on, you know, for sale. So referred it over to us and needed a whole bunch of work. There's a whole bunch of junk in the house, absolutely trash. There's like red paint, you know, smeared everywhere with like, you know, some bad things on the wall and still food in the kitchen. It's been empty for like 2 years. It's pretty gross in there, but nothing that we haven't seen before. And so went out there and checked it out and, you know, actually submitted an offer to them. We're waiting for some things to go through, but yeah, we're going to purchase that. And, you know, you and I are going to go in there and fix it up, make it nice and pretty, put it back on the market and get a family in there who's going to cook, you know, the next Thanksgiving meal or the next Christmas meal, both in that house. So that was really awesome. It works out for the agent as well, because what she was doing is trying to develop a better relationship with this attorney who does a lot of probate, a lot of elderly law, senior citizen law, whatever that means to you, where people are getting older and, you know, she's dealing with wills and probate, stuff like that. And she's trying to develop a closer relationship with this attorney, and she couldn't help her out. So what she did is referred over to us because we're an investment company and, you know, we're making her look really good. I'm in great talks with the attorney. She's super pumped. She's excited to help the family who's going through this. And the attorney is now better friends. And I've seen this and heard this from the real estate agent with the real estate agent, because she was resourceful and connected her with somebody who could help her clients with this situation.
It's a good point, and that's why I wanted to make it. It was like kind of something that just popped up. It wasn't something I went out and, you know, consciously asked for. But all of a sudden, you know, people will see us in the various markets sending out deals we have under contract, kind of doing our thing, and they notice that we typically like send out an email, whether it's Atlanta or Philly. We send an email like one time, and then the deal's sold. So it's not like we're sending it over and over and over again, you know, with the same deal. So they're obviously good, solid, profitable deals to the investors. And so we have a really good reputation amongst a lot of buyers in each market. And a lot of times real estate agents or people that we're networking with, you know, if I tell them, like a lot of people who are flipping houses, Austin, we're looking for the cherries. We want something that'll sell for like $300,000 plus in a neighborhood where there are no rental properties. And we want to buy it for $165,000 and put $65,000 or so in the property. That's the main chunk of the fix and flip market, is people looking for that deal that I just described. And so, you know, I don't expect, and I never have had an agent bring me a deal that I could profitably close in that price point. A lot of times the market's too hot, there's competition, some homeowner will buy it, fix it, you know, do the work over the next couple of years while they're living there. It's just hard for us to connect, because maybe they can sell that for $185,000 to someone who's going to live there. I only want to pay $165,000, so there's a little disconnect. But on the lower priced end of the market, like this one, we have agents, you know, Southside Chicago, they just have some building. They just don't want to be bothered, like take phone calls and do the showings. They'd rather just say, here, if you guys want to make an offer, great. We make an offer, you know, we buy the property. If not, you know, if it's something that works for a wholesale, I'll let the agent know that up front if they're bringing me a deal. Look, if this is just not going to work for me for this reason or that reason, so I'm not going to buy it. But if you want, I can put it under contract and send it out to the list. So, you know, we have agents all the time, and it's typically like properties that are under $100,000 where I'm starting to see this happen. I guess it's just not enough commission for the agent to want to take the phone calls and things of that nature in those neighborhoods. So we get this deal somewhere in the 20,000s, I think, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, it's a better fit for the homes that are, like you said, definitely under, you know, more often than not under 100,000, unless it's a very specific situation. So yeah, I completely agree with that. The commissions aren't that exciting on that part either for agents and stuff. So yeah, good point.
So recently you've kind of helped out a couple other people in your marketplace too, Austin. Do you have an example you'd like to share about how you are now, you know, just a year in the business, turning around and kind of like stepping in and doing a little bit of, you know, deal consulting or buying or co-wholesaling, if you will?
Yeah, that's something that I'm just super passionate about. I'm not passionate about it with just anybody. It has to be people who are actually trying to help themselves, because one of my rules is I will not help anyone who is not trying to help themselves. It's just a waste of time. It's a waste of your resources. It's a big frustration to you. All right. So I'm partnering with select people in the Atlanta market, and I see something in them that they're just out there hustling, like in the best way possible, like in the honest way. They're just out there grinding it out every single day. They're doing whatever it takes. They're coming home from their 9 to 5. They're getting off their 9 to 5 and they're going straight into, you know, putting out bandit signs, or they're on Craigslist cold calling people, or they're putting together mail campaigns, or some people are doing it full time as well. And those people, what I'll do is I'll meet with them, grab some coffee, grab lunch, which is something I love to do. I love to do the face-to-face interaction. I have a couple that I'm actually going to be meeting with tomorrow, Mitchell and Rachel, who are just doing their wholesale. They're starting their wholesale business, and I'm going to go talk to them and, you know, see how I can add value to them tomorrow. So it's something I really enjoy doing. The example that comes to mind of what you're asking for is it's a few deals, right? So there's one example of a guy, Jorge, who is in the Atlanta market. You know, he put some feelers out there on Craigslist, called a few people, and got somebody who was a for sale by owner who was interested in selling. And he reached out to him a couple times. They were working with evicting some tenants, so it took a few months of follow-up. And once it came time for the tenants to be out and the house was kind of cleaned out, he gave me a call. I met him actually online, PickerPockets, and then also met Jorge at a real estate meetup. Added value to him there. No intention other than just, you know, adding value, just helping. But he called me on this deal and said, hey, Austin, I have this property. I think it's some potential. I don't 100% comprehend the process of going through step by step, you know, getting this, you know, all wrapped up in an investment deal. So would you come along with me on this appointment and kind of, you know, negotiate this for me and make sure all my T's are crossed and I's are dotted? I said, yes, of course. He scheduled the appointment. I met him down there. I don't know if you want me to talk about numbers, Dan, but, you know, went in there and spoke with the seller. He was, you know, cleaning out this house as an absolute wreck. House needed a good amount of work. It was in, you know, pretty bad condition. There was cockroaches everywhere. It was pretty nasty in there. But went over there and I actually offered him at first about half of what he was asking for. And Jorge kind of looks at me like, what did you just say? Right? He was like, wow. It was like, that was a little bit less than I was expecting you to offer. And it's like, well, you know, it's justifiable because of this, this, and that. We go back and forth with the seller and we end up getting it for just above like 50%, maybe like 55% of what he wanted up front, maybe 56, if you want to be technical, of what he wanted up front. And we signed the deal up and Jorge got to see how I worked, how you and I work in those interactions. And then also on the back end, one thing that was great for him is with the resources that he's accumulated thus far as, you know, partners who, you know, would partner with him on the deals, you know, he doesn't have as extensive of a network because he's just starting. So what we were able to do is, you know, turn around, properly market the deal, and get absolute top dollar for this property and do it in a couple of days. I think we had the offer in a couple of days and went ahead and accepted it and closed it out. And Jorge got by far the biggest paycheck that he's ever gotten in his life. And, you know, he's actually on kind of the team now. He's on our partnership mastermind calls, not the ones that we were talking about earlier, but he's on the market specific, the property locator specific ones, not the internal Diamond Equity team. And I mean, that was awesome. When I told him what he was making, he was just like, it's like, what? He's like, really? You think that's going to happen? I was like, yeah, definitely going to happen. You know, he calls me with pretty much every deal now. He just talked to me about one last night. You know, it may or may not work. I kind of gave him a few tidbits on, you know, this is what you want to say to kind of gauge them. And if they react correctly, then, you know, take the next step forward. If not, no big deal. You know, maybe follow up with them in a couple of months. And I'm passionate about that, Dan. I absolutely love adding value to people in what they are passionate about. Like if they don't care about what they're doing, then, you know, I'm not going to care either. But I love real estate. And the reason I left Cutco for real estate is because I see this as a huge challenge and a huge opportunity. I believe it's the biggest quote unquote game in the world. And it's a game you need to play ethically. It's a game that you need to play fairly and have a strong sense of morality with. But I absolutely love the opportunity to go out there and talk with all these super bright people like Jorge and the other people that we work with on a daily basis. They keep me on my game and I actually learn from them as well often. I can go into the other example if you want as well.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of got a little lucky, right, on that one that we just discussed. Like, we went into that deal thinking that, you know, we had a lot of things playing against us. It was kind of on a little bit of a busy street. It sort of needed, like, you know, we went in for flip numbers, and the guy who bought it, is he keeping it as a rental?
Yeah, they're renting it out.
So, you know, in the Atlanta market, over the last 3 years, we've seen such huge appreciation that people, I mean, he didn't pay near, you know, he got the property still for well below market price, but people are buying in the Atlanta market and a lot of other markets around the country because they've been going up and up and up and up. They pay, you know, higher than what we would necessarily do the deal on flip numbers. So we made a fair deal on the front end and then got a little lucky in the fact that somebody decided, hey, I'd rather, you know, keep this as a rental property. I don't have to do a $45,000-$50,000 renovation. I can clean this thing up for $10,000-$15,000. It cash flows, it works, and, you know, in the end, he's making out because he has his piece in a nice market. So, Austin, what was the total assignment on that one?
Total assignment was $47,500. Pause for dramatic effect.
yeah, that was obviously a real good one for everybody involved. What about the other one? You got another one cooking, I think, right?
Yeah, so
just closed.
I'm out front of the closing office right now. I forgot where I was. The one that I just closed out, a couple minutes ago was one that I, again, met a gentleman named Asaf at a real estate meetup group, and we happened to sit next to each other. It was a newbie wholesaler mastermind, and we just hit it off. Like, every time he would come in town, because he lives in Cali, we would, you know, make sure that we get lunch or at least go grab coffee. So we met a couple of times, and I just stayed in contact with him. I hooked him up with, you know, an agent in the market who he ended up closing on a flip with. I hooked him up with some other key people who he's using on his staff. And again, like, I had no intention with what I was doing with him. I mean, it sounds bad, really. Like, I don't know. I just don't have an agenda. And that comes through. So I just kept on, hey, you know, whatever I can do for you. Is there anything I can do to add value to you today? You know, he's like, oh my gosh, that's a great question. You know, you could do this. And I always just followed through. I just kept on following through, following up. Again, just because I liked him, I identified with him for some reason. He's a good dude. He's into personal growth and all that. So what happened is he had a deal in, it's like near Marietta Square, actually. And he had a piece of land. He was going to close on it. And he's like, hey, I think it's a really great deal. I've been following up with this guy for like 2 years. I'm trying to sell it for 50. I believe he was trying to sell it for. He's like, see what you can do with this. And I was like, yeah, definitely. You know, give us, you know, a couple of days. He's like, okay, cool. Now I have 7 days left on the contract, or I'm just going to buy it myself. I'm like, yeah, cool. You know, so you really have nothing to lose. Just, you know, let me market it for a second, you know, like you're asking me to. And I'll get back to you Thursday morning at the latest with an update. And he's like, well, can you get to me before that? I'm like, I'll definitely get to you before that. It was a Monday. Like, I just want to under promise and over deliver because, I just need that amount of time. I just want to make sure that I'm not telling you, yeah, I'll get back to you tomorrow and I don't have anything for you tomorrow. So we blasted out to the list and, you know, we have a funding partner come through 3 hours later. They've already driven by, they've already looked at it, they've already written the contract up, and they're asking me where to send earnest money. And I think we blasted it out for 65 on that deal, right? And we sold it in 3 hours for 67. And there was some issues with title and with getting it to close and making sure everything, you know, was again, T's crossed, I's dotted, made sure everything was taken care of. But through our experience with doing this, we got it to closing. And like I said, I'm out front of the attorney's office right now. It's been funded and everything, all the paperwork signed off on. So another one in the bag for sure. And he was very thankful. He's real happy.
And we actually like kind of loosely agreed on the paperwork. And the guy was like, hey, if you get me 40, I'll be happy. So we signed an agreement and had him assign the rights to us at 40, which allowed us to legally remarket the property for a profit. And then when we had a little more profit than, you know, the 15, when we split the 50-50, we were cool about it, went back and amended all the paperwork and the prices so that it was an even split and nobody was looking at each other, you know, cross-eyed when we got to the settlement table because this person's share was bigger than the other person's.
Yeah, which, you know, again, speaks to doing everything ethically and morally in this business, because just like that situation, there's, you know, a ton of shady crap that goes on with people, and it's not acceptable. But a lot of people don't have longevity in this business like you do, Dan. They don't stay in this business for very long because they do things that they can get away with one time or a couple of times. But this is a very, very small community, the investing community, the real estate investing community. And I mean, word gets around quick. And if you do ill by somebody one time, or, you know, you do something one time, chances are you aren't going to get another shot with them. And that's really what I appreciate of working with Diamond Equity. There's, you know, the religious aspect of it, which I'm getting more involved with, the decisions that, you know, we've made together and that I've asked for your guidance on. It's always been just like the absolute utmost, you know, how I was raised, which was, you know, by a good Christian mother. And she taught me how to be a good person. So that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about working with Diamond Equity, is because of the way that we handle business. I would not do it any other way. I absolutely wouldn't do it any other way.
Cool. So I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to I'm going to go to the wrap-up questions here that I ask every guest that we have on the show. I'm sure you've heard a few of them since you've been listening to the podcast. So the first of the few that we have here is, who to you, Austin, is the most successful real estate investor or developer, and why?
You know what? I'm going to actually shout out a name, and I know he won't mind because he loves attention. Peter Pasternak here in Atlanta. And the reason is because he is very active. He does a lot of business. He's one of the most, you know, successful business-wise investors, builders that I know here in Atlanta. But the main reason is really because of what he has to share with the people. He's always, again, the word value, looking to add value to people. He's always asking them. He taught me before we get off the phone, you know, what can I do to add value to you today? And it's a great question that most people don't ask. And when I ask some people that, they just kind of look at me sideways and they're like, wow, do you really care? I'm like, yeah, I care. Tell me what I can do for you. And he's just always giving. He has about 5 to 6 meetings a day with just random seemingly people that he's going to influence in a positive way. You had him on your show earlier, and I just, you know, I have a lot of respect for him.
Nice. I'll make sure I link to the show notes there as well. Austin, 2 or 3 life-changing books, real estate, business, / mindset or success related?
Yeah, I love books. You know that. The number one is Think and Grow Rich. Most of your guests have said that, but it's so true. It's Think and Grow Rich 110% of the way. I absolutely adore that book. There's another one that you just introduced to me, which is called Thou Shall Prosper, the 10 Commandments of, I think it's Making Money, something like that. And it's written by a Jewish rabbi. I think they're all Jewish. And Daniel Lapkin, he explains why people who are successful are some of the most giving people, some of the most loving people in the world that, you know, positively impact the world the most. And it's not the cliche businessman on TV who is 9 times out of 10 characterized as a villain. And if you're making, you know, huge profits, you're doing something immoral, you're doing something wrong. And it was something that I really struggled with, you know, climbing up the ladder of quote unquote success, is I wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing something like that, because again, my mom would be pissed. She would not be happy. So I really appreciate that book, and it puts things in a very great perspective. And it's, you know, it's on the Jewish religion, which I'm not currently, but it's very interesting to me. And I appreciate you for recommending that book over to me. And I mean, there's a million other books, but Richest Man in Babylon, you've got to read that book. Again, it's on how to maintain wealth and what the traits of the wealthy are. I know most of your guests have said these books, Think and Grow Rich, Richest Man in Babylon, but the Thou Shall Prosper, 10 Commandments of Making Money or Keeping Money, that one right there, I haven't heard anybody say. So there's 2 for you probably have heard, and 1 that you need to go get.
Yeah, that one's great, man. That was life-changing for me. I think I listened to that 2 or 3 times on Audible when I was driving back and forth before I lived in Chicago. That was kind of like one of my companions for the trip. There's a 18 hours or something long. I forget, long enough where I wouldn't even finish the whole book on the 12 and a half hour drive from Philly to Chicago. But that's great, man. It was definitely a psychology, life-changing, mindset-shifting book for somebody, especially who maybe was making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. And then you're now going to a place where you're making double that or triple that. There's some differences in your own life that kind of like you were describing. So there's going to be these like other changes that aren't quite like save 10%, make sure you pay your taxes. There's going to be like a different mindset that's needed to just kind of like maintain your humbleness and not like lose control of your life as you start making more money. So that was great for me. Austin, if you could share the crown jewel of wisdom with your 18-year-old self, what would that be?
Well, that wasn't too long ago, Dan.
How old are you now?
25.
Okay, 25. So 18, you know.
crown jewel of wisdom with my 18-year-old self is to get into real estate. Like, just start doing something with real estate. You know, at that age, I was getting into the personal growth already. And I know I started, you know, younger than a lot of people, but I just know if everything happens for a reason, and I'm exactly where I should be at this time, doing exactly what I need to be doing at this time. I believe that. it's always, I wish I would have got in earlier. You don't know what you don't know, and I didn't know about real estate. So that would be the thing, is get into real estate and just start doing something to either educate yourself or start practicing it at that age, because it is so fulfilling. It is so fun. And my 18-year-old self, it would keep you out of a lot, you know, things that have happened in your life as a negative result of you being bored. You know, you're looking for something to entertain yourself with. So that's the crown jewel of wisdom, is to get into real estate and start learning about it immediately.
So Austin, if there's somebody listening who should be reaching out to you, can you describe who that would be and then also share your best method for them to reach out and contact you?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I don't really have an aim of who I'm looking to, like, have reach out to me. I have, you know, a very fulfilled life where I'm on the phone or in person with people, you know, almost every minute of every day. Just ask the people who are around me. It gets annoying sometimes. So I'm open to whoever reaching out to me that thinks that I can add value to their life. They have a question for me. They think I can help with something, you know, in the real estate field or outside of it, you know, preferably in the real estate field, because that's where my passion is, and I'm not really looking to focus anywhere else right now. But anybody who feels compelled to reach out, I'm super accessible. I'll give you my cell phone number. That's completely fine with me. You can call me, text me anytime. The number is 678-842-3330. Feel free to call 7 days a week. I'm on, you know, Monday through Sunday. It doesn't matter to me. I'm always doing real estate because it's my passion.
Nice. All right, man. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. I know you got a lot of stuff on the schedule for today, so I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your experience and wisdom here.
Yeah, you're the absolute man. I've been listening to REI Diamonds for, I don't know, since I started this, and, you know, over a year ago, and it was like the first podcast I fell in love with. So it's huge, tremendous value to me, your listener, Dan, and I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks for the feedback, Austin. And thank you, my loyal listener, for checking out this episode of the REI Diamond Show. Are you interested in receiving the email notifications of future episodes of the REI Diamond Show? You can either sign up at www.reidiamonds.com or subscribe through one of the podcasting apps, including iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Are you interested in buying a deal from me or presenting one of your deals or listings for me to buy from you? Either way, you can submit deals you'd like to sell or check out deals I have for sale currently in Chicago, Atlanta, Florida, New Jersey, or Philadelphia, or by just going directly to www.reidiamonds.com and clicking the link at the top of the page. And finally, if you have certain questions or topics you'd like discussed on a future episode, or if you have a guest suggestion, somebody you'd like me to invite on the show, or perhaps you're an expert guest yourself, you can contact me directly by clicking on the Contact Dan link at www.reidiamonds.com. Thanks again for being a loyal listener of the show. Dan Breslin here. I'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the REI Diamonds Show with Dan Breslin. To receive email notifications of new weekly episodes, sign up at www.reidiamonds.com.